In this interview, we will learn how one of the most sustainable banks in the world, Triodos, approaches financing transitions in energy and food, and what the role of banks can be now and will be in the future when it comes to financing farmers who want to go beyond sustainable towards regeneration. Welcome to Investing in Regenerative Agriculture and Food. This is a special dedicated series on transition finance. Why are we recording this series? Many farmers are ready to speed up their regenerative transition. They've looked for learning, done the courses, read the key books, hosted the gurus on their farms, explored farm-sized regenerative designs, and most importantly, started their pilots and feedback loops. This is where transition finance is key. A local bank loan often isn't feasible because of the short duration, lack of flexibility, and the farmer's lack of collateral. Furthermore, there's a limit of how much equity a farmer is able or willing to give away. That is why my co-host, aspiring to be regenerative farmer, Benedict Beuzel, and I are embarking on a journey to find out what are the key principles of transition finance for regenerative farmers. We are interviewing leading practitioners in the regenerative agriculture and food finance space. They share their insights how they would finance the speed up of the regenerative transition on Benedict's 1,000 hectares, which is almost 2,500 acres farm in Germany, close to Berlin. This is an open process. We are sharing our lessons through the podcast episodes as we go along. We don't have the answers yet, just a lot of questions. So please share with us any examples of transition finance you've seen, other inspiration, people to interview, etc. Get in touch via the contact page on the website, investinginregenerativeagriculture.com. That is investinginregenerativeagriculture.com. So welcome to a new episode in the Transition Finance series. And a very warm welcome to my co-host, Benedict. Welcome back on the show.
Yes, happy to be here. Hi, Kun.
And a very warm welcome to our first guest we ever have on this series, which is Julian Appers, fund managers of Triodos Organic Growth Fund, and which is part of Triodos Investment Management. And he also spent quite a bit of time at Triodos Bank. Welcome, Julian.
Yeah. Hi, Kun. Happy to be here. And hi, Benedict.
Hi there. So I always like to ask a personal question and to briefly introduce you, yourself, basically, and why you're so focused on food and agriculture.
Yeah. Well, first of all, so thank you for having me on your podcast and on this series. And it's a pleasure being the first in this series. And a bit of on my background, I've been working at Triodos Bank for over 15 years. Really started as a loan officer and always be client facing and talking with entrepreneurs and seeing how we could connect the money of our savers to of our savings accounts to sustainable entrepreneurs. Used to work at SME with SME finance, and also did something in organic agriculture. Then moved to sustainable real estate finance, and approximately 7 years ago, switched to Triodos Investment Management, where I started to work as a senior investment manager first, and then later as a fund manager, but always being in contact with European entrepreneurs active in the organic food space and food transition.
So it sounds like you have a good background to be our first guest. I think it's we couldn't have wished for better. I mean, me and Benedict were discussing who should be the first on this series, and we definitely wanted to kick off with the bank, because for many people, I think the first response when you mention transition finance is, why don't these farmers that are front runners, pioneers, etc., why don't they just, and just between brackets here, which you cannot see, don't go to their local bank or don't go to a bank? And I think we wanted to explore that because it's, as we had in a pre-discussion, it's much more complex than that. And we didn't want to just invite any bank. We want to invite one of the most sustainable banks we know, which is the Triodos Bank. But for anybody that now thinks Triodos, am I have heard about the name, but or am I did not, can you give a bit of an intro into Triodos Bank and Triodos Investment Management?
Yeah, sure. Happy to do so. Triodos Bank was founded almost 40 years ago by a group of bankers who really wanted to do it differently, and who wanted to create a strong connection between the money that's in the savings account and the loans that are provided to entrepreneurs. So really make that strong connection, make that also transparent. So we also report on where your money goes to and where we invest, and we strongly believe in the power of money. so with the, let's say, the, with the loan decisions or the investment decisions that you take, that you take within the next 10 years, will have an effect for the next 100 years. So it's really, Triodos was founded to guide money into a certain direction, into a positive direction, which I would say, like most other banks now also have, or that's starting, is that they have criteria that they exclude, for instance, the weapon industry or tobacco. But we at Triodos really are focused on transition finance and want to finance that change. And we do it now within Triodos Bank in several countries. So originally it was founded in the Netherlands, but we now also have offices and branches in Belgium, in Germany, in the UK, and in Spain. And we've also expanded. So we have a bank, which is the core of our activity, which is really getting or attracting savings from retail customers and lending that to sustainable entrepreneurs. And next to that, we have a business unit called Triodos Investment Management, where we manage multiple investment funds that are active in several themes, like the bank, food and agriculture, renewable energy, and social inclusion. But our field of working is the entire world. So we have some funds that are active in emerging markets, some are in Europe, some are in the Netherlands. And some provide, it's the full range of from debt to equity. And next to that, we also have several funds that invest in listed companies. So we have, it's actually two activities within Triodos Investment Management. One is focused on private debt and equity. And the other bit of our activity is on listed companies. So where we strongly engage with listed companies to push their sustainable agenda as well. And what's also good to mention is that so our motto, so to say, is finance change and change finance. And we are, let's say, we want to be the leading European sustainable bank, but we also always look for networking. I think that also ties in to the subject of today. I think it was 10 years ago that we were also one of the launching partners of the Global Alliance for Banking on Values, so which is a global network of sustainable banks. And with that network, we really try to be a front runner and be an ambassador of sustainable finance. I say we have two main activities, and one is really to finance those entrepreneurs that really support the transition. But we also realize that we cannot do it on our own. So that's why we're also busy with changing finance and showing others that it's possible, and also hopefully inspiring others to also move into this direction, because all the challenges that we're facing requires significant effort. So everybody who can help is needed.
Right. I mean, Julian, also from my side, it's so great to have you on the call. And I mean, from just what you've been saying, you pretty much touched upon all, you know, the potential, problems or the potential topics and I guess also responsibilities that you have to keep in mind, right? I mean, starting from saying, look, you know, this is money from our savers. Yeah. You have a certain responsibility to invest it. At the same time, as a bank, you obviously have regulation you have to adhere to. And then combining that, you know, with an approach and an aim to say, well, we want to drive change and we want to facilitate entrepreneurs to do that also. I mean, that's really what it's all about, right? So great to have you. One question just from my side for at this point is really, how do you, or is there a sort of like a sales split between those two activities, you know, working with listed companies on the one side and having entrepreneurs on the other? And would you argue it's a sort of a combination that you're, let's say, working with listed companies in order to be facilitated, you know, maybe even hedge some risk of the work that you do with entrepreneurs?
No, in that sense, it is two different. Also within investment management, it is two activities, and it's not mixed. The approach is the same, so it's always focused on the transition themes. But we don't mix those asset classes in that perspective. But we are, let's say, offering the full range to our investors and really make sure that we activate their money in the direction that they want, and also that asset owners want. So they not everybody. So there is a different type of risk involved when you invest in listed companies or when you invest in private equity or private debt. And I think it's for us most important that we cater to the needs of those investors and that we connect them to either listed companies or to private enterprises.
Right. I mean, that was, a bit the question that I was, trying to get to. Obviously, it's very different risk classes, right? So the question is, well, really what I was trying to get at from experiencing those different forms of transition phases, is there already something that you can see, that is maybe an instrument that we can also apply in agriculture?
I think it's an excellent question. Just to color it a bit, I think you at Triodos have done a lot of work in the organic space and the transition to organic. And now we're sort of entering the, I think the Benedict uses a beautiful term, beyond organic or beyond farming phase, where there's still a lot to figure out and there are not really clear mm-hmm. recipes for farmers that want to go a lot further than the organic space. How is it for a bank and an investment management company to see that movement happening, and what kind of role can you play there? What kind of instruments, like Benedict, do you see already instruments, or how would you approach like a few steps in the unknown, basically going beyond organic and farmers like Benedict, but also others that are taking slowly, but definitely, surely those steps?
Yeah, I think as I say, touching on the instruments later, but that's first of all, your question is how do you deal? And so as Triodos, indeed, we already from our origination are supportive of the biodynamic and the organic farming sector. But we've also launched, last year we published a new vision on food and agriculture and on agricultural systems. And we're kind of saying that we need to take next steps, and it's not so much of fixing the current system, but really trying to move towards a new and a better food and agricultural system, which is focused on three pillars. So one is the balanced ecosystems, and I think that definitely includes part of organic, but where we also say sometimes, let's say, the holistic vision that you need to have on a new system isn't fully covered by an organic certified farmer, and sometimes sustainable farmers are not certified organic. So indeed, you need to look beyond that. But to give a bit more background on that vision, we're going to say there are three pillars. So one is balanced ecosystem, which is very much focused on making sure that agriculture happens and that we work together with nature instead of against it, and actually damaging the natural system that the food system is depending on. But it's also making sure that, let's say, with a health, that we create a healthy society, that we create the nutrition that we need, and that we really, in that perspective, really make sure that we produce the right nutrients and that we produce the right food. And then the third pillar is making sure that everybody in the value chain gets actually its fair share, and what we then call it needs to deliver inclusive prosperity, and just make sure that everybody who's active in that value chain actually gets its fair share. And I think this kind of already shows for us the next step, where you kind of move beyond organic farming, or perhaps go back to the roots of organic farming, which is focused on multiple important issues, which is ecology, which it's also care, and it's health and safe and fairness. And I think not everything that's organically certified actually deals with all four of the pillars of the organic agriculture. And that's what we're trying to reflect in our in the new vision that we published on food and agriculture.
Yeah, well, I will definitely link that below so everybody can read it.
Yeah, that would be great. And it's really it's an holistic view of how we feel and how we can work toward a more resilient food system. And as I already mentioned, it needs to deliver healthy nutrition for all, without damaging the natural systems they depend on, and make sure that we deliver inclusive prosperity for those active in the food and agricultural chain. And I think that's for us what is most important. And historically, we still strongly support organic, but we also look at initiatives that go beyond organic, as long as they fit in this sustainable ecosystem. But I think that also, this also shows that it's all interrelated. And so when we did this, the research for this study, we also found that you cannot solve this system by, for instance, only focusing on fairness.
because then and you also need to look at a balanced ecosystem, and you need to make sure that that you focus on a healthy society. That's what's necessary to need to be holistic. So it also means that you cannot solve it independently. But we are, as Triodos, we're now trying to take the next steps based on this vision, trying to create investable solutions. So for us, the next step is, I think it was very important for us to do this research and to really come to that holistic approach. And now we're really in the phase of translating that into looking at then what's necessary, but also then create investable solutions for our investors. And so depending on their risk and return and impact profile, see like what can you create in order to attract that money and attract that capital and deploy it in the right direction to actually make this change happen. And that's not easy. Yeah? So in that sense, also the timing for this podcast for us is also, it can also be an inspiration. And we have a track record. We've done this all indeed, as you mentioned, also with organic, and we still do. And so one of the examples that I definitely want to mention is what we're doing within Triodos Bank, is that we are giving finance to farmers that are in a transition from conventional agriculture to organic, and where there is this 3-year period in which it is not yet organic certified, but you do already have to live by the organic rules. So you do have to incur already a higher cost, et cetera, but you don't get the premium. And that transition, but also the investments that are necessary, that is something that we, as Triodos Bank, like try to create a separate facility for that. And then also the conditions in that transition period are, for instance, that you don't need to repay the loan, so that's postponed. Sometimes also the interest during that period can be part of the finance of the loan itself. So in that sense, we really try to support that transition. And we do that because we understand the dynamics in the organic market and we see what's happening. So I think we have a clear insight in the risk profile of a farmer when they switch to organic. And for me, that's the most important thing. So as a bank or as an investor, it all comes down to knowledge and really understanding the risk that are involved. And then hopefully you also have a solution. It doesn't mean that you always have a solution. But for me, that is the advantage for us as Triodos Bank, is this is what we do. Right? We only finance organic agriculture. So we understand that sector and we want to be supportive. And it's also the strong task that we've been given by our customers to make sure that their money flows into that direction and it supports that transition. So we're really anxiously working on those solutions. And I think that's most like looking back. And now if you look forward with this vision, what we're now working on is also with partners to see what can we do to finance transactions in which you purchase the land and perhaps it's no longer owned by a farmer, but there's an entity in between. But that is extremely difficult to actually realize that. But we're also, and knowing that we have a bank and that we have investment management, but that's always a certain type of money and either gets an interest or it wants a certain return. We also have within Triodos what we call the Triodos Regenerative Money Center, where we really put all our activities together that are more focused on either gift money or investments that do not require a high return. Really try to put that together and what we then call try to create more catalytic activities. And so which for us as Triodos is really the third activity. So next to the bank and the investments, really the Triodos Regenerative Money Center, where we try to create an activity. But for us, that's also experimenting, where we try to create something and where we want to support initiatives that are, as we call them, not yet bankable or not yet investable, but that do require money.
I think there's a lot to unpack there. Thank you for that. Benedict, do you want to jump in?
I was going to say that sounds familiar. I mean, I think it's a great approach because, I mean, there's just so many unknowns, right? Just to give you an example from us, I mean, we are on a very sandy soil. We have huge problems with drought, especially in spring, early spring, beginning of the summer. So that has a huge impact on, you know, the profitability, obviously, or being able to harvest something at all. So that being said, let's say the current plot size here are around 40 hectares. So with that, we have huge problems with erosion. It's wind erosion. Obviously, it's also water erosion, extreme weather conditions. The soil is often then very hard. It's not capable of taking up the large sums of water that are coming. So because of those kind of topics, we have to really think about, you know, how we can preserve the little rain that is falling in the best possible way. As a grain-oriented, or at the moment still grain-oriented agriculture company, we are very strongly involved in thinking about and obviously also applying agroforestry ideas, right? So we have different structures and different, let's say, methodologies of agroforestry. One where we go more into sort of the, let's say, the ecological functions that a couple of rows of agroforestry on a large field can offer, basically by changing the microclimate between the rows, basically by helping also in the water intake, but having those positive effects on, you know, potential erosion through wind and water. But then also in an idea to, you know, also think about the potential value add through the tree lines themselves, right? So go into a more diverse, more biodiverse system where you have different potentially nut trees, you have fruit trees, you have fruit bushes, and that's only a start. You can have a huge variety of different, yeah, let's say fruit-bearing trees, I guess, developing in some sort of, you know, product that you can market depending on where you are and what kind of situation you have. And, you know, especially in Germany, there is not that much research on those kind of multifunctional land use models. And specifically when it comes to, you know, single trees and then within one species, the different varieties, and then combining that with, let's say, those very, very harsh conditions that we have. We often in the year have late frost danger as well. So what we're doing in one plot, it's 3.5 hectare. We have 19 tree rows. The area between those tree rows is 10 meters. We have planted around 1,700 different trees and bushes. And these are, pretty much the whole variety that I kind of already touched upon. And there's one row, basically, to give you an example, which is on plums and berries. And there we have, for example, 17 different plum varieties, because we need to invest, you know, the time now. We need to invest those next, let's say, 2 or 3 years in order to have a feeling of which of those varieties can actually cope with the kind of harsh environment that we are and that will be increasingly facing. So although being convinced that, you know, this holds huge potential, especially in an area like Eastern Brandenburg, we don't know on a, let's say, bankable, responsible basis, you know, what the profits could be, what the cost structures will be, you know, what kind of metrics we have to know and we have to get a feeling for in order to make it a bankable product. Right. So I think that already shows you quite well how, you know, what you just said is very true. And I think the funny thing is, and it's something where part of the transition or part of this paradigm shift is going towards also, that we are realizing that there's just no silver bullet. We have to be aware of the complexity of the ecosystem that we're in. And we have to be aware that, you know, we have to be able to find solutions that fit into certain contexts at a certain time, and with regard also to the people who are being or running it, basically, right? So that was a long reply to a fairly easy question, but I think we are at this point where we have to do that groundwork and gather data, gather more information, be more, learn more to then say, okay, from what we've seen, from what we have, you know, analyzed, we pretty know what can work in which kind of environment. So, you know, having that, let's say, regenerative money center, I think is a great and a really, really important first step, I guess.
Yeah, and thank you. And also for giving some more background. And I think for me, this also clearly shows that as you mentioned, there's not one solution and it's not a clear solution as well. So it's more entrepreneurial. That means, and unfortunately, what I think is a good development is that there's more and more attention to our agricultural system and also the impact that agriculture has on climate change. And and let's say the impact, but also the fact that it can be part of the solution. So I think if you look at the European Union Green Deal that they're kind of working on, and also the fact that they want to plant a significant amount of trees, I think for me, agriculture should be part of that solution. And we should not think of climate change. So it's all linked to each other. And if you link it, then you can actually also see that there are business models. Indeed, when you talk about agroforestry, then so we are also in contact with some other organizations, for instance, Rewild in Europe, which is very much focused on like how can we make a business model out of creating nature. And especially with the challenges that we're facing when it comes down to climate change, you can now see that capital is flowing into a certain direction. And what we now need to do is, for what I think is very important, is that we collect those efforts and that we also guide it into the direction of agriculture. And yes, a fair part should go to technology that is already there and that we can scale. But we also need to make sure that also funds flow to more, let's say, the pioneers, because it is necessary. It's a new pioneering stage. And I always like the example that within Triodos, when there was in the Netherlands the first wind turbine on land, and it was very difficult also to get the finance and the business case. And then there were several customers of Triodos who actually said at that time, well, just give us a lower interest rate and we're fine with taking a lower interest rate as long as you also give a lower interest rate to that wind turbine. And then all of a sudden it was possible. And so I think it's that creative thinking and indeed what you're saying. I mean, the challenge that you have is with the soil, and then perhaps the solution is planting more trees and with agroforestry. But then actually, what does it bring? It also it makes sure that you stand out potentially in a retail outlet, and then hopefully also consumers are willing to pay a bit more, and perhaps retailers are willing to make a longer term contract with you as a farmer. And then you need a financial institution who understands that people in the value chain are thinking differently and are really trying to work together. And that also lowers the risk. And then all of a sudden, perhaps it does become bankable.
I think it's a great example of the energy space of that. It started with the small wind turbine on land somewhere, which at the moment, at that time, maybe wasn't bankable. And in your understanding of the bank space, what are the timelines we have to think about? Because it's clearly that we're in the pioneering space, and it's clearly that Benedict and many others are literally finding out what works and what doesn't. And Benedict says maybe in a few years, in 2-3 years, we have a better understanding which plums and which trees, etc. But for a bank, how long did it take for organic to be bankable or for solar to be bankable? Like, what kind of years are we thinking about? Is that 5 years of records or 10 or maybe even 15? Before it becomes easy for obviously a very structured and regulated entity like a bank?
That's a difficult question, Koen. Yeah, and not easy to answer. And I think that it's what's most important is that, my heart would like to say, just have a good plan, work together with partners, and then come to a bank and then make sure that they understand. And then it should be bankable. But indeed, I think you need to think about a time frame of, let's say, 3 to 5 years. But that's a bit pessimistic. So hopefully we can it can be somewhere in the middle.
Now, well, we want the honest answer. What's the banker saying? What is your banker mind? Because many people listening don't have the luxury to have a Triodos within their reach. Of course, they can check the Global Alliance on Banking on Values, but they would have a more traditional bank. So they would have to face this more pessimistic or less knowledgeable person on agriculture, the future of agriculture. So to not give them too much hope, you would say 3 to 5 and maybe even a bit more than that.
Yeah. No, but I think, I mean, you need 1 or 2 years of track record. Huh? So you need a pioneering phase, and then you need 1 or 2 years where you actually show that it works. Let's say that's more in general. And then in the pioneering phase, you might be able to do it earlier, but if you talk about scale, and I think that's it. So we shouldn't. I think this is a great example, your farm, Benedict. But it's also, I mean, financing one project it's always possible. So that the bank just says, "Well, we're going to do it anyway because we want to finance that pioneer." But I think if you talk about scale, It needs to be something that indeed is proven. And then indeed you're talking about, I would say 3 to 5 years. And also if you look at the renewable energy market, as it took several years to really become mature, and then all of a sudden, and now you see lots of capital flowing in already for several years. And so I think for the upcoming 2 to 3 years, you are still, in that sense, stuck in the pioneering phase, and you need pioneers and either, so pioneering capital and more risk capital. And then, I would say like 3 to 5 years is what you need before it's really on a bigger scale, it's bankable. And it's also then becomes an asset class that's attractive for other banks as well, beyond the impact investment space.
Yeah, I think, it's the question really is, how can you make it like an asset class that is, sort of understood by everyone and accepted, with a certain risk profile? And the question is, how do we get there, right? And I think, from our experience as well, I think it's really about, having those examples, having farmers, in different zones and different problems with different, maybe also, focus. And having them as, pioneers show, what they're doing, how they're doing it, what kind of problems they face, how they find solutions, and basically support them, because politicians, the public, consumers, other farmers, all of them, they need to go to those places, to the farmer, speak to the farmer. They have to see at those new ways. They have to touch them. They have to experience them. I think only through experiences can people who are not connected as strongly into those things understand and, build a sort of interest, possibly love, to then say, okay, in my role, I can do something towards the move and the change to help that kind of new paradigm of agriculture, basically, to get a strong foothold and, to get a better price, to be more open in the whole trading scheme and so forth. So I think it's a really important step to find people that, already are trying to do those kind of things and then, put them in the spotlight, I guess.
Yeah. And then I think it also comes down to trust. So indeed, so when you look at it from a consumer perspective, and so we are one of our portfolio companies of Triodos Organic Growth Fund is a company called Oosterdane. That's a mailbox company from Denmark. And so what they really are, so they source from Denmark, but also from other countries in Europe, organic fruit and vegetables, put that in a box together with other ingredients to prepare, a healthy and sustainable meal at your home, so you can make it yourself. But this is an organization that's now also trusted by their customers, and knowing that if you buy over there, it might be it's organic fruit and vegetables, and it might be more expensive than conventional, but at least you know that they have a long-term relationship with their suppliers, and then you're potentially also willing to pay a bit more because you trust them. And I think we've somehow built a very efficient food system, which was necessary because we really focused on making sure that everybody had sufficient nutrients and sufficient food available. And that's, of course, still a challenge, but I think now times are changing and we need to create a structure in which there's trust in the system and everybody gets its fair share. And then also consumers are, I think they're not unwilling to pay a bit more, but then what needs to be crystal clear is that if they pay a bit more, that also goes to the farmers actually. And so for me, it's really building the trust and making it, and now somehow what you also mentioned, Benedict, it's now an anonymous food system. And indeed what you're saying, if you open up your farm, then people reconnect and they really see the value of food instead of trying to buy it as cheap as possible.
I was just going to ask a final question. I wanted to be conscious of your time. Usually these final questions turn into a few more. But what would be your advice, Julian, to, I think the advice of Benedict is clear, go to your farmer, talk, understand, taste, touch, understand the food system, understand these pioneers much more. What would be your advice to investors listening to the space? Maybe people working in the finance sector, so your colleagues or competitors, but let's say colleagues, and farmers listening to you that are maybe pioneering here, what would be your advice that in 5 to 10 years, this will be a bankable asset class that we can all participate in? What should they do tomorrow or today if they still have a full day?
I think as already mentioned, so we always look at it from a risk, return, and impact perspective. And I would say as a first step for now in this pioneering phase, we need to get it crystal clear what the risks are, which are obviously higher, what the returns are, which is definitely challenging, and what the impact is, and make that also clear. And if you have that clarity, you can find funds or people or organizations that where this impact risk return profile actually matches with what they're looking for. But also have a clear strategy on indeed how do you make this scalable. So what's your goal? How do you feel that in the end you can turn this into a wider movement instead of, so what's next beyond the pioneering phase? But I think for now we need all brain power to really think about, as already mentioned, the impact, risk, and return of this project, and also from the traditional finance sector, and from consumers and from large food companies. Collect all of that. Understand that potentially not everybody can for now help, but at least involve them and make them ready for the next step, and that they understand. So at the moment you want to reach more scale, they better understand the risk that they're getting into, and also the return and the impact that they're able to make.
Maybe also one question from my side. I had the honor to moderate a panel on regenerative agriculture at the Farm and Food 4.0, which is always a very well known conference on innovation in agriculture, specifically startups, ag tech, but also this year regenerative agriculture. And we spoke about the topic also, do we really have the time, right? And can we afford, as a society, as farmers, as consumers, as people, to wait until we are able to satisfyingly take the next step? And often, Indigo obviously is one of those companies that are at the forefront of articulating the whole potential of CO2 intake. And this is something, Julien, you mentioned briefly as well. In my view, only speaking about, sequestering carbon and then, having a vehicle, so to say, that pays the farmer. That's again, not taking care of the complexity of the ecosystem, I think. So we have to look at it more holistically. And if we agree on that, and I think we do, don't we, as of now, actually have to start much stronger discussion on the whole concept of true cost accounting and say, look, if you're a farmer in an arid region, if you're a farmer where you have, great potential yields, don't we have to find a holistic management or let's say measurement tool to say, okay, there's different ways a farmer is, contributing, either through a high production of grain or a large, potential to sequester carbon, or a huge, let's say, potential for increasing biodiversity and so forth. And don't we have to, think about that so much stronger to see how can we, facilitate the change of farmers much quicker? Because after the panel, there was farmers approaching, people at the Farm and Food and said, look, we want to change. We have, XYZ hectares, but we don't actually have all of the skill set that we need. We don't have the right machines yet. We don't have, the finance to, let's say, cover a year of maybe 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years where you will go through a bit of a dip, obviously. What can we do? And isn't that the kind of question that we have to ask ourselves? How can we find an innovative, holistic tool of financing those transitions? Also a paradigm shift in how we think about finance, if you want. I know that's a bit of a weird question, but do you know what I'm trying to get at, Julien?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I definitely agree. So you need to have, I think that in the end, that's also where we should be heading to. And I think you also mentioned that we have no time to waste.
And I also think that this holistic system, it can be a significant step. And then, of course, the question is, will we be able to take that leap? So for me, it also, again, starts with pioneers and just starting small. And starting small while not forgetting about the bigger picture and constantly thinking, like, can we already scale it? What do we additional need? What kind of, perhaps potentially what type of larger corporations are out there who would be willing to support this? But I definitely agree. Yeah? I mean, in the end, and that's also what our vision is about. It is about this holistic change. It's not it's not just paying a bit more for your veggies in the supermarket, so that the farmer gets a bit more income. No, it's really about really changing, eating more local, shifting a diet, circular agriculture, agroforestry. It all needs to be included, but it's also extremely complex, and that's why I always like this combination of, yes, we need to think about a holistic system, and we also need to yesterday start working on a solution, which is just the first step.
Yeah, I think we're moving into a whole new discussion, which I think we need to have, but not this time on the podcast. I think that should be another one. I feel the tension constantly of we need to move yesterday as much as possible. And obviously I also see the potential issues or the challenges that institutions have because they're not investing their own money. And at the same time, I hear you, Benedict, like we need a couple of years to figure out which plums we actually need to plant. But of course, you would love to already know that and plant them everywhere in the right mix. So there's this constant tension of going very fast. And at the same time, we somehow cannot go faster than certain principles are. So I think it's one of the reasons we're recording this. And one of the reasons I'm so happy you, Jurjen, came on the first official episode with a guest of the Transition Finance series. I want to thank you both again for so much to join, and also the whole team at Triodos to make this happen. And I don't think it's the last time we are discussing and we're sharing on transition finance and regenerative agriculture and food systems.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for having me and having this opportunity to discuss this with you, Koen, and with Benedict. And be continued.
Yeah, very much looking forward to this discussion. And Triodos is at the forefront of this development. So all eyes are on you guys. No pressure, but
no pressure. Yeah.
We can only solve it together. And I think, you know, yeah, you guys are doing a great job. So awesome to have you on board as well.
Thank you for listening to this episode, which is part of the Transition Finance series, trying to find appropriate transition finance to speed up regenerative agriculture on farms. For feedback, ideas, suggestions, please contact us through Twitter or via the contact page on the website, investinginregenerativeagriculture.com. Please share this episode with a friend and give us a 5-star rating, which really helps others to find the podcast. All the episodes of the series can be found on the website and in your podcast app. Thank you and see you next time.